Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Christmas time's coming. Ain't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Burning, my old heart's yearning for the folks at home when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them sing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home. Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going.
Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your friend Donna Leland, and today we're speaking with Clarissa Williams. We spoke with Clarissa before about her book, Mommy Teach Me to Pray, and today we're going to be looking at another one of her works. This is on the idea of worship, and she takes a unique approach to it and really encourages us to think about how do we worship and what is our motivation behind the worship of the Lord God. The book is called From Idolatry to the Heart of Worship, The Challenge of the 21st Century Church. Thanks so much for joining us, Clarissa, on Mark and Friends.
As usual, Donna, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for the second invitation to share with you.
We're so excited to be able to spend time with you, Clarissa, this weekend coming up this Saturday. From 1 to 3, we're hosting an open house, and with it, it's also an opportunity to meet local authors. Clarissa, along with June Agama, will be a part of a book signing, so we're thrilled about that. Let's dive into this book, and as always, the first question is, what motivated you to write a book like this?
So really, this was something that came out of a personal search for clarity about what it really means to worship God and to understand who I am in Christ, my identity in Christ. I accepted Christ at 9 years of age, but I say it was the collision of life with my faith that drove me to this search. I had just come out of a very rigorous doctoral program and had been in a department that was embattled. And then shortly after that, 9/11 happened, and I was processing that on a very personal level. So I was just really searching and trying to understand and center myself in my walk with the Lord. And I was also wanting to make a distinction between a musical destination that we should strive for in church, worship, the manifest presence of God, and also worship as a lifestyle. What does that look like on me? What does that look like in my life? I realize the book is dense after editing this year. It is a critique. It is a devotional of sorts that unpacks worship from a biblical perspective in a very detailed way. But if there is a central theme that I would like for readers to grab hold of, it's the theme of movement or growth in relationship with the Father. The first thing that the Lord gave me after giving me the title was the visual that is the cover of the book, a sunflower in several versions of turning to face the S-U-N, and the metaphor for us turning to face the S-O-N. We know that it's in Christ that we live, we exist, and we move, we grow, we progress forward, and we have our being. So our relationship with the Lord is dynamic, it's ever-growing, and our vital connection to the vine is continually transforming us from carnal to spiritual, toward the image of Christ, as we deepen our walk with Him and our knowledge of Him.
Worship as a lifestyle. You know, we're thinking about praise and worship. So we see ourselves in a fixed location with some tools, some items, the tool being our vocal cords, the tools being, you know, a piano, an organ, and other instruments, and people coming together and making that moment about singing praises, acknowledging the one true God. But to see that as an everyday moment, let's dig into that, Clarissa.
So I think that one of the things that we have to always distinguish in our walk with the Lord is religion and relationship. And we know that religion is the checking off of, you know, a number of boxes, a dutiful performance, if you will. But worship is a devotion to God that is expressed in a day-to-day relationship. The entire trajectory of our lives from season to season, from moment to moment, we are submitting ourselves to Him in devoted service and receiving from Him. We receive power. We are graced, we are empowered by the Lord. We are instructed by the Lord. We are admonished by the Lord. We are daily transformed by Him. So we know that we don't want to teach performance, but we want to invite people into the manifest presence of God so that as we abide with Him, He's transforming our lives.
I think so many stories in the Old Testament where there is worship involved. Of course, Noah, when he got out of that ark, he built an altar to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord in the way that God had called him to through animal sacrifice. You know, I think of so many others that chose in the middle of their situation to worship the Lord. Joseph, some crazy things happened to him, and yet all along he was worshiping the Lord. When he was put in the pit, when he was in the jail, and it was a progressive worship. But talk about that everyday minute in our world. Let's say we found out about a disease that we now have and that we were not expecting. How does worship happen in that moment?
So I think one of the things that we are graced to do when we accept Christ is to rise above the limits of our flesh. Our flesh is very reactive. Our flesh is very self-centered. And our flesh is not necessarily interested in sacrifice. There are times in our lives where we have to sacrifice. And sometimes that sacrifice means giving God worship and praise and thanks, even though what we're experiencing is very uncomfortable to us. It's very exacting. It's challenging. And I think that when we have situations happen with our health, as you've said, it's a real challenge to believe God, first of all, is a healer. He is the great physician, and praise and worship Him as such in that moment, until our natural circumstances begin to be transformed and aligned with His word, with His promise that healing is the children's bread and that He desires that we be in good health even as our soul prospers. So it's those moments of negotiating our humanity, but praising, worshiping God above that and allowing our spirits to reach to Him in faith, to do the miraculous, to perform a divine intervention in our lives, which He is always willing and wanting to do. We simply need to have the faith, exercise our faith, and believe. I love the scripture that says that He is willing and able to do far above all that we can think, all that we can imagine. But it begins by the faith that is exercised in us.
So I think worship as well, as you're speaking, is it's about knowing this God. And maybe that's where we need to dig this a little bit deeper. You know, maybe the understanding of God is kind of surface. I mean, absolutely, He is the creator of all. He sent His son Jesus to die for us. And by trusting in Him, we come to know Him as our Savior. I mean, that's just 101. Those are the basics. And then worship takes on a new level when we understand, I think, that His Spirit is joined to my spirit. So every minute of my life can be a moment of worship, knowing who He is and experiencing Him. It's just that walk with Him, that everyday moment. And what happened in your life, Clarissa, that really made that switch from just rote religion into this deeper relationship and understanding of worship?
I feel like when I accepted Christ, I did come into relationship. I think that the difference occurred when I understood that there was a fuller expression of Him in my life, that the abundant life that He's promised was something that I could have, but it was something that I had to intentionally invite Him in to. I've shared before that I, you know, accepted Christ at 9 years of age, and I've got an understanding of the Holy Spirit when I was 13, but I believe that there are various infillings of the Holy Spirit in us. And I think that when I was going through several things at once, you know, what I mentioned about coming through a doctoral program in a department that was embattled, 9/11, several things happening that were very profound, it was another opportunity for me to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit and to understand that I had a personal responsibility to submit myself, to lower myself, to invite Him into those places. So again, I believe that the way that I was taught, I came into relationship, but it was a fuller understanding of the Holy Spirit and various infillings of the Holy Spirit that brought me to this conclusion. I think it was also kind of a critique of the church that brought me to this. I accepted Christ at a very young age, and as a result of that, walking with the Lord for several decades, I observed things in church life that to me were red flags about how we were doing church sometimes, but sometimes missing God. And so that personal witness also encouraged this critique that I also offer in the book.
I love it that you put it back on us. It is our responsibility. I think sometimes maybe we look to the church and, you know, other organizations to be doing for us, but really is our choice. Yes, we are placing ourselves in a position to hear God's word, to express love for Him, but it is about our hearts. Where is our heart in the midst of this? Are we just fearful and anxious or accusing God of maybe not coming through for us? So yeah, that's a heart work, isn't it, Clarissa?
It is. I think it's very difficult to deal with self, and self can be very deceiving. We can believe that we're connecting because we're dutifully doing the right things, but that performance can be the very thing that is keeping us from a relationship where we are laid bare, where we are laid bare before the Lord and we are vulnerable to Him and we are desiring intimacy that is brave enough to say, if you see something in me that is not like you, I invite you to come into that space and to teach me and to correct me. It's a relationship that's very transparent and a partner relationship where you're empowered by His Spirit to be transformed.
It is that humbling of ourself. That is such a good point. If you see anything in me, Lord, work with me. I'm not there yet. You know, I'm a work in progress. One of my favorite prayers is, Thy will be done. And I think God has got me to that point. It's taken years to get me to the point of, Lord, you know, I'm going to lay aside my agenda. A lot of my prayers were just instructing God as to what He should be doing. But to just say, you know, Lord, I'm kind of tired of trying to figure this thing out. So why don't we just do Your will? And, you know, Clarissa, something I love about this is that He says that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we can be assured that we have it because it's his will. I'm not bossing him around and instructing him. I'm just like, okay, Lord, your will be done. And there's so much peace and rest in that.
Absolutely. I like what you say about, you know, just kind of laying down your will. When we think about worship, there is a power differential, right? We are the created being and he is our object of worship. And we have to get to that place of completely laying down our will. It's interesting that some of the Hebrew words in the Old Testament that speak of worship speak of that. They speak of kana, for example, humbling oneself, bowing the knee, bringing oneself low. Proskuneo is another word, and it's to lie prostrate, to lie flat with your face to the ground, to show reverence and to show adoration. Shaka, to stoop or to fall down or bow. We have to get over ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tall order, and it's something that we're called to do every day, right? Every day,
yep.
All the seasons of our lives, the ups and downs, the transitions, all of that, to really allow your spirit man to descend by humbling yourself. It's a tall order.
You know, because I do spend most of my day thinking about myself. I really am all about getting Donna into the next thing that she should be doing. I have to talk her into doing certain things. You know, she's kind of hesitant to do exercise or say no to some of those goodies that she'd rather eat. So it's a full-time job, you know, just wrangling. So
it is.
What we worship, we focus on. So
yes,
I'm
exactly.
learning it's okay not to focus on me all the time because God is focusing on me all the time.
Wow.
He's thinking about me.
That?
All
about
the
that?
Time. He never sleeps.
Yes.
He never slumbers.
Yes.
He has Donna on his brain 24/7.
Yes.
So, you know, that frees me up, Clarissa. It frees me up to think about other people because
it
God's
does.
Got my back. And now
That's
I can
right.
start saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to be okay. So let's look around here and see, you know, other people in my world that I can attend to. And then my focus is back on him. And it's just so much more pleasant to go through life that way, isn't it?
It is. It is. And I think that, you know, we have to remember that his promise to us is for abundant life. And if we are, you know, not experiencing life in its fullness and not experiencing him in his fullness, then we're living beneath our privilege. We're living beneath the promise. And we don't want to go through life unsensated and overly obsessed with examining ourselves. But we want to be open to experience life fully, open to experience him and people fully.
That's so true. It expands our world and our capacity to love him and love other people. We're talking with Clarissa Williams, and she is the wonderful author based here in Springfield. And we're going to get a chance to hang out with you, Clarissa, and I'm so excited. You have agreed to be a part of our open house. It's coming up this Saturday from 1 till 3 p.m., and we're opening our doors for all of our wonderful listeners to come in and have some savory and sweet goodies and some warm fellowship and also meet and greet. We've got our two authors, Clarissa Williams and June Agama. So what are you anticipating about this Saturday, Clarissa?
I think that we are always seeking, most of us are always seeking to grow and to learn, to have experiences that are interesting, empowering. And I hope to encounter people who are on that road, who are seeking to know God more, seeking to have a fuller life. So just connecting with folks in that way and hopefully offering this book as a resource to do so.
That's going to be a great time. It's called From Idolatry to the Heart of Worship, The Challenge of the 21st Century Church. Thank you so much, Clarissa, for taking time out to be with us on Mark and Friends. And I'm absolutely looking forward to meeting and greeting and giving you a big hug this Saturday.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for this opportunity to share.
have thought that long ago, so very far away, a little child would be born and in a manger laid? And who would have thought this little child was born the King of Kings, the son of just a carpenter, but for whom the angels sing? And who would have thought that as he grew and with other children played, this child with whom they laughed and sang would die for them someday? And who would have thought this little child could make a blind man see, feed the hungry, make rich the poor, and set the sinner free? Oh, who would have thought this little child was who the prophet said would take away the sins of man and rise up from the dead?
Thanks so much for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media, and you're welcome to our open house at WLUJ Studios, 600 West Mason Street in Springfield. It's from 1 till 3 p.m. this Saturday. Hope to see you there. Don't forget, all the past programs are always available in an MP3 format on our website. Just click on the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks again for understanding we are a listener-supported Christian ministry. Hope you have a great day.